The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Please turn to page 313 of the New Testament. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Allow me to read the words of God. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Amen. Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the followers of the church in Ephesus while confined inside a cheap barn in Rome as a prisoner for spreading gospel for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 testifies of Paul's situation as follows. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The expression, as a prisoner for the Lord, means that Paul was locked up for spreading gospel for the Lord. Apostle Paul repeatedly uses expressions for the Christ and for the Lord in Ephesus. If we look into the first half of verse in chapter 1, first half of verse 1 in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul introduces himself as Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Apostle Paul tells us that he became an apostle of Jesus by the will of God. He connects everything and anything that happens as happening for the Lord, because he is an apostle of Jesus. Paul, who became an apostle of Jesus, knew that life outside of the Lord had no meaning. So he even described being locked up in a cheap barn in Rome as being a prisoner for the Lord. Those with political powers at the time confined Apostle Paul for political reasons, but Paul, who always kept God's providence in mind, was not afraid of physical confinement at all. And he confidently called himself a prisoner for the Lord and spread gospel through Ephesians. What Apostle Paul encouraged to do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, was to live a life worthy of the calling from the Lord. Then what would he mean by the calling you have received that he mentioned in Ephesians? The Lord calls for people and gives them a task to form a church that is the body of the Christ. This is what we usually refer to as the calling. The Lord does not want those people who have received his callings to just become a member of a community of faith and attend. Becoming a member of a community of faith and attending only Sunday worships is also not right to the calling of the Lord. The Lord called each and every one of us, and he also gave us work to do. That task is decided accordingly to each person's portion. Let us look into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The Lord gave each person the grace as He apportioned it. All of you here today have been given grace as you were apportioned. We were all each given the grace as we were apportioned, and the portions vary. Verse 11 of today's passage specifies the duties in a more detailed manner. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. The duties that are mentioned in this verse are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Lord has called each one of us and gave us various duties that are fit for each one of us. But unlike the various gifted people that were listed in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, only 5 types of people were mentioned in today's passage in Ephesians. What do you think Paul was trying to emphasize by mentioning the 5 types of people in verse 11? First, one thing all 5 professions have in common is that they all spread and teach the words of God. These people were the leaders of church at the time. Verse 12 tells us of the roles of church leaders. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The role of church leader is to make disciples whole, to do serving and carry out ministry to build the body of the Christ. The important role of a leader of church is to spread and teach the words of the Lord as his instrument. Followers cannot be made whole to serve others, and the body of Christ cannot be built through the leadership of church leaders that lack the Lord's words. So the foundation to make followers whole, to serve others, and build up the body of the Christ is the Lord's words. The ultimate purpose that must be achieved through those who spread and teach the words of the Lord is to build up the body of Christ together with the believers. What is the body of Christ? It is the church. As it is mentioned in verse 15, Jesus Christ is the head, and each and every one of us should become his body. The reason why the Lord has called us, giving us the grace as apportioned, even if our duties aren't about spreading and teaching of the Lord's words, is to build up church, a sound body of Christ. There is something that is essential for us, the limbs of the body of Christ, to be built together to build up the body of Christ. Let us look at verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We must reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. There is no exception to this. Apostle Paul used the expression "we all." The members of the community of faith must reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Lord, without exception. Unity means oneness or integration. If faith and knowledge are separated, this means that one cannot become a whole person or a mature Christian. pisti, the Greek word which is translated as in the faith, was used 227 times in the New Testament and was mostly translated as faith. This is a term faith that we frequently use in our daily lives. If we look into some of the examples of how it was used in the Gospels, the writers of each Gospel use this term when Jesus says, "I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith," to the centurion of Capernaum, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, when Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you," to the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. And when Jesus asked, "Where is your faith?" to his disciples who were in fear because of the squall on the Lake of Galilee, in Luke chapter 8, verse 25. And the knowledge was translated from the Greek word epignosis, and it means accurate and proper knowledge. This word is a derivative term of a compound word of adding the Greek word ginosko, which is an equivalent to the Hebrew word yada with preposition epi, and it means to know very well from experience. Faith is about believing in Jesus died shedding his own blood to forgive our sin, believing that he has made us sinners righteous, made us his children, and saved us by giving us eternal life, and believing that Jesus is the master of in our lives, being grateful for his grace. At the same time of early church days, Apostle Paul did not stop at making the followers believe that Jesus is simply the Son of God, the Redeemer, and the Savior, but he wished that they would know Jesus through experience. In other words, to become more mature as to properly understand the will of the Lord. We know very well that everyone has different degree of faith through the teachings of Jesus and Gospels. If we are to put the phrase faith needs to be mature in a different way, faith should not be limited as an abstract concept that should be able to be organized and explained in concrete ideas. Faith must be an idea that includes all processes of knowledge of the Lord being connected to your life. To express this through today's passage, it is to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. The faith in the Lord must be extended from having faith about the redemptional death of Jesus on the cross, the resurrection, justification, adoption, and eternal life, to knowing the Lord by bringing changes in life of properly learning, knowing, and practicing. We must become mature Christians that do not stop ourselves at just thinking and saying that we believe in the Lord, but actualizing our faith until we get to properly know of the Lord and connect that knowledge into our lives. There are more reasons why we should become more mature Christians. Let us read verse 14. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. We must break away from our infant-like faiths and reach unity in the faith and the knowledge through the words of the Lord to become mature Christians. And then we will be able to endure every wind of all sorts of worldly teachings. The teaching in verse 14 is a translation of the Greek word didaskalia, and was also translated as lesson in the New Testament. This word is a derivative noun of the Greek word didachi, which means teaching. In English, it is doctrine, and in Latin, doctrina. Doctrine is a foreign word which is defined as creed, morale, principle, or theory. A principle of the policy officially expressed by a nation and the international society in today's Korean dictionary. But there are many ideas and opinions of an individual or of a small number of people that started out as a selfish idea and have evolved into morals or doctrines, both in the times of Apostle Paul and nowadays. The most representative examples are Marxism and communism. These doctrines have evolved by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Many people and nations have fallen into chaos, blown here and there by its wind. Recently, secular values, including neo-Marxism, are swaying the society. If we look into it, this also contains the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming, and many fall into its temptation. The problem is that many people do not realize this phenomenon. In today's world, the three beliefs of rationalism, which believes that humans' rationality can take part and understand not the material world but the spiritual realm, intuitionalism, which believes that sensing through intuition is a truth and virtue, and emotionism, which believes that if emotion feels something is good, then that is virtue and truth. These three values are making people more and more selfish and individualistic. The thought is prevalent that I am good and right, so people do not respect other people's thoughts or opinions. If something like this is happening inside a church, then it is because the people are not living under the biblical values and have fallen for the deceitful scheming of the secular values of valuing rationality, intuition, and emotion without even knowing. Neo-Marxism smears into people in a more deceitful and reasonable way than Marxism does, so it is hard to notice. It approaches towards people, emphasizing human rights, tolerance, environment, gender equality, and such. But in real, it is just another idea that goes against secularism and God. If Marxism was created to find solution to the economical issues, neo-Marxism appeals itself to people by suggesting solutions for sociocultural issues, focusing on societies and cultures. Capitalism continues to exist without falling. So in the historical assessment point, Marxism is a failed doctrine. Marxism is now failing to lure more people using the contradictions of economy and desire for material. Now, neo-Marxism is trying to tear down the society, focusing on sexual desires. It says that sexually oppressed people should be set free from those who oppress others sexually. In such context, they insist that people can be attracted by same sex instead of opposite sex, and there are people who are born with homosexuality. They tell people not to oppress your natural instinct and desire, because if you do, you will be unhappy. Who can confront against such a doctrine? Christianity can. Just like the old Marxism regarded church as its archenemy, neo-Marxism also considers that churches should be destroyed, thinks that churches should be destroyed, and even form allies with extremists because it thinks that church gets in its way. It is said that neo-Marxism did not only try to invade churches, but it is also widely spread from elementary, middle, high schools, universities to political, economical, and art societies. Churches should not sway or fall for secular teachings or values. If a church sways or falls for such things, then the church will not be able to sustain as a church should. In order for a church that is the body of the Lord to be separated from the worldly values and maintain its holiness, the church members should not fall for the temptations of the worldly values. How can you not fall for the temptations of the secular values and not be swayed by it? You can prevent yourself from falling into secular values with a faith that started from the accurate and proper knowledge based on the words of the Lord. Reaching unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Lord to prevent yourself from falling for the secular values is important. But there is something more that must be done aggressively. Let us read verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. Here, love refers to the love of agape and love of God. To do the truth, as it was translated in Korean, means to speak the truth in the original context. In the same context with Paul's frequently used expressions in Ephesians, in love means for the Lord and for the love of the Lord. Courage of faith is needed in order to speak of the truth in this world where secular beliefs are so prevalent. It is possible in the power of the Lord. It also means that you should not just stay in the position of condemning those who tempt the good people or those who were tempted by cunning and craftiness, but should speak the truth in love of the Lord and treat them that way. That is when you will become a mature Christian who will reach to the heart of Jesus, who is the head of the church. Then what is speaking the truth in love? If we look into this in line with verse 14, it means to tell people that the secular beliefs are wrong and speak of the truth. Today, people feel uncomfortable talking about sensitive issues, but church should always speak the truth in love. The following is a summary of an excerpt from this year's January edition of Christian magazine, Worldview. A boy named David Reimer was born on August 22nd, 1965. This boy's penis was accidentally damaged due to medical malpractice during a botched circumcision operation when he was 8 months old. John Money, a medical psychology professor at Johns Hopkins University, reached out to the boy's parents and persuaded them to get him a sex reassignment surgery. The boy was forcefully reassigned to be raised as a girl and was given the name Brenda. John Money made a sort of doctrine that gender is decided by societal factors not innately. This is his insist that people can choose their own gender. This is when the word gender was created. Gender is a term that contains socio-cultural idea of sex, rather than biological sex of classifying male and female. Through John Money, the term gender spread worldwide. This boy, who was raised as a girl, was deeply confused due to his sexual identity. He played sword fighting like other boys would, and did not act like a girl would. The boy went to see John Money for periodic counseling sessions, but it didn't help him much. When he turned 14, he learned of the fact that he was forcefully reassigned to be raised as a girl. He was shocked. and decided that he would go back to be a male again, and had undergone treatment to reverse the reassignment. But his mental pain went on. He could not overcome the shock that he received from John Money's cunning and craftiness, and eventually took his own life at the age of 38 in May 2004. John Money never apologized to David Reimer or to his family, and insisted that his theory was right. John Money was a so-called sexual minority rights activist who conducted experiments that were virtually sexual assaults on stable-minded children without hesitation in order to boost sexual minority rights, and played a crucial role in carrying out the ever first sex reassignment surgery. The John Money Doctrine is spreading the idea of gender. One example is the official English name of a ministry in Korea called the Ministry of Gender Equality and Family, which also contains the term gender in its English name. But the original Korean actually reads Ministry of Females and Family. John Money's cunning and craftiness has developed the idea of gender and is now spreading all over the world as if this is the virtue and the truth. As a result, many people are swayed by it and are falling for the gender doctrine. What must the church say to this? God created man and woman when creating humans. The decision of sex, of male or female, is an absolute sovereignty that is up to God. It's not something that humans can choose. The church must tell the people that the terms transgender and sex reassignment are wrong and speak of the truth. If there are misleading doctrines or secular beliefs that drive people into chaos, we need to tell them that they are wrong and speak of the truth. When we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Son of God and become whole, become mature Christians and do not fall into secular beliefs, let others know the cunning and crafting of the secular values and that at the same time speak of the truth. That is when church becomes more church-like, and the church will be built up with the body of the Christ. Let us read verse 16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we compare church to our body, the head refers to Jesus and the body, the believers of the Lord. There are many different parts in a body, and they need supporting ligaments that connect each part of the body. And for each part to form a body, each need to be connected and combined with each other's help. The body of Jesus cannot be connected on its own and must be built up together. In order for them to be connected and combined through each other's help and achieve maturity to make the body grow, each part must function to its own capacity. We need to thoroughly let go of the thoughts, my experiences, my major, and or my field is better or the best. In order for the followers that are the body to be built up together for the Lord, who is the head of the church, each part must put its strength together as the amount of gift from the Christ that were given to each of us, alongside those who spread and teach the words of the Lord. The ultimate purpose of being built up together for the Christ Jesus is to become a temple for God to stay in. In order for us to become the temple of God, where he can stay in, we must become people who are separated from the world. In order for us to live in a separated life from the world, we must be mature For us to become mature Christians, we must also live a separated life from the world. The relation between the life separate from the world and mature Christian is reversible. What's needed to achieve this is that the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ must not be separated. Faith and knowledge must reach unity. Ever since the days of Adam, there were always those in the world that tempt the people. Those who stay far from God and His words in the world that He created for the good regard rationalism, intuition, and emotion more important than the words of God, and are making all sorts of teachings and doctrines, making them seem sophisticated and reasonable than they are. There are endless cases on this earth of those that make the world fall into a chaos through teachings and doctrines that were made against the will of God. In such situation, church must stop the spreading of such secular beliefs through the power of the words of the Lord. We will need to unite in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and keep church as a church should be, and furthermore, become the power to make the world good. Let us all become the people of the Lord who are built up together for our Lord, who act suitably to the duties and our callings that the Lord has given us. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for letting the Lord shed his blood in order to save the sinners, and to have those who have been saved by his blood form the church that is the body of the Lord. We thank you for letting those who are equipped with the words of the Lord to stand before people, so that those who were saved by the Lord's words may listen and learn of the Lord's words at church to become mature Christians. Let us build knowledge along with faith through the words of the Lord. Let us not stop at simply believing in the Lord, but also let us know of the Lord through experiences. Let us unite in believing and knowing in the Lord, become mature Christians, and not fall for deceitful scheming, nor be blown here and there by every wind of teaching, the values of secular doctrines. Moreover, allow us to transform the world to become good in the Lord's will. For this purpose, let all the followers be built up together, connected and united by helping and respecting each other inside Jesus, who was the head. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.